Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. This is Brian Wilkie speaking. I'm delighted to join you today as one of the hosts of this program. Good morning. Today our theme is First World Problems. Our reading from the Word of God is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. It's what I hope is a familiar passage from the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is speaking. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and is tomorrow is thrown on the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Now that we've heard the Word of God, would you listen with me to Sarah Groves as she sings, "Say a Prayer"?
Flickering like a candle lying on the floor.
I think everyone has worries. Each day does have troubles of its own. We're told by Jesus not to worry, and yet most people suffer from diverse anxieties. If we are Christians, we are learning to cast our cares on God and trust Him to sustain us. Yet, what are these things we care about? Are we troubled by the things that trouble God? Or are we still troubled by matters that have little to do with His kingdom and His righteousness? Jesus addresses some very basic needs when He says that we should not worry about food, clothing, and shelter. Why then are we so often preoccupied by things even less than these? In my summer reading, I've had a chance to look at the challenges facing Christians in the developing world, and I've noticed that the problems they're facing are a lot more significant than the problems I get troubled about. I notice that their lives are examples of devoted service to God in spite of many things that would make it very difficult for me to just continue on as I concerned myself with those other troubles. They seem to have a model for life and prayer that could be very instructive for us in the so-called first world. And so today I hope we can look at what God thinks of our first world problems. But let's pause here to listen to Michael Card. He speaks about some of the situations that we find in life, some of the difficulties that we and other peoples have, and he describes it as a distressing disguise that Jesus is actually found in the midst of these situations. Thank you. When I'm talking with friends and someone comes up with a situation they're facing, sometimes someone will a little bit sarcastically say, well, that's a first world problem, isn't it? What do I mean by first world problems? It means those light, very light difficulties that people find themselves in. When we're concerned about a broken iPod, well, that's kind of a first world problem. If we were in a society where we were struggling to find enough to eat, where we weren't sure that we were safe when we slept at night, well, we probably wouldn't be quite as concerned about our gadgets and so on. I've heard many, many testimonies from Christians that are great testimonies because God really has helped them. But sometimes the things that we go to God about for help seems so trivial. I heard a mother giving thanks that her daughter was really blessed by God in that certain circumstances were arranged in her life that made sure that she didn't have to miss her prom night. Well, I'm sure that the prom night was important to the teenage girl. It certainly has been important to my daughter this last year as she began to prepare for graduation from high school. But I really wonder how important that is in the grand scheme of things. We often are greatly concerned about success in our careers, about moving up the ladder. We're often concerned about material abundance. We have so many things that we do get concerned about. We're on diets. We try to control our weight. I have a friend who's on Google Plus, and he's often putting pictures of really desperate situations in the world and juxtaposing them with the kinds of questions that we ask and the things that we pray for. How many can look at a picture of people gathering to receive a handout of food in a famine-struck land and would expect to find sympathy that, well, at the restaurant, the steak wasn't done quite the way I like it? Or the complaints that we have about service when we're able to enjoy the pleasures of Disneyland or some great entertainment place, and our worst concern is that the lines were long. First world problems. First world problems include the kinds of fears we have about security, when we're uncertain about what we'll do 20 years from now if the stock markets don't behave themselves. Jesus told us not to worry about what we eat or drink and said not to worry about tomorrow. But we often have anxieties, not just proper care and caution, but anxieties about things years down the road. Can we trust God with all our tomorrows, or are we going to continue to be wrapped up in first world problems? What are third world problems? Well, for most people in the two-thirds world, the problems are the basic needs that humanity has, the needs that Jesus addressed in the Sermon on the Mount. Real, substantial needs, like having enough food to eat, having a place to take shelter from the elements, having security. In the developing world, we have people concerned about high rates of infant mortality, not just in statistics, but in their own family, worried about their own children. Disease, famine, war, violence, these are the third world problems. Jesus even speaks to those of us facing the desperate base level needs when he says, don't worry about these things. God knows you need it. I find it very troubling that so much of the world lives in need of these basic necessities. As I read this summer from K.P. Yohannan's book, Revolution and World Missions, it was a real eye-opener. to the difficulties that people are facing even as they seek to serve God. People whose first concern is not their own food and shelter and security, but people for whom their main concern is the needs of others. What are the kingdom problems that we can concern ourselves with, not to be anxious about, but to dedicate ourselves to, and to spend our time discerning how we can meet these kingdom needs? It's clear throughout scriptures that God sees needs for the kingdom and sends his church, his people, out to meet those needs. Obviously, salvation of the lost. You know, salvation of the lost is the primary work of God in Scripture. Lostness takes so many forms. It's rooted in that separation between God and man that entered the world through sin. It's rooted in disobedience and rebellion, but the fruit of that disobedience and rebellion affects not only the one who rebels, but the whole society in which they live. And God sent his Son, Jesus, to address that need, so that people would be set right in their relationship with God, and through that would live a life that would meet the needs of others. God is concerned with the salvation of the lost. These days, I'm afraid I find it hard to understand how many Christians don't seem to be concerned about their neighbors, about their friends, about their family, who don't know Jesus Christ. It's one thing to say, well, things are working for them, I don't want to disturb their peace, but we look at so many of the people around us, and life just isn't working well for them. They're struggling with purpose and meaning, they're struggling emotionally, they're struggling with the loss of friends and family, they're struggling with their own health, they're struggling and they don't know where to turn. Many people recognize that they don't have the answers. They aren't sure that they can trust the answers that are being presented to them by Christians, but we as Christians can at least know that they know themselves to be needy. They know themselves to be lost. They're looking for something, and they don't know what. Can we concern ourselves with that kingdom problem? In addition to this, I don't want to give any light treatment to God's continual concern for the weak and the needy. Didn't James say that true religion is to care for the widow and the orphan? Didn't he also suggest that faith that doesn't involve works of kindness and justice and compassion, that kind of faith isn't really Christian faith at all? For God, when he saves us, he puts his Spirit within us, lead us into concern for the things that concern his heart. God gives grace to the needy. God gives grace even to the wicked. And his kingdom problem is that people who are wicked are dying. He says, I don't delight in the death of the wicked, but I delight when they turn from their wickedness and live. Very often we think of kingdom problems purely in terms of those who are sympathetic characters, people that we like and we'd like to help. But God reaches out with his salvation even to the people who oppose him, even to the people who have turned against him. In fact, he says, when it comes to salvation, there's no one good, no one righteous. All have fallen away. And so the salvation that he offers to the most wicked person that you can imagine is the same salvation he offers to us in our separation from God. As I say, God has a heart for third world problems. And when James spoke about care for the widows and the orphans, Jesus also spoke to the rich young ruler, saying, one thing you lack, sell what you have and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. Notice that Jesus didn't say, give it to me and follow me. Jesus had a heart for the needy, And when he had provided this rich man with so much blessing in his life, he encouraged that rich man to bless others with it. Is God concerned about war and violence in the world? Well, Jesus spoke one of the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Blessed are the peacemakers. Paul told Christians not to be at war with the culture, not to be at war with their neighbors, but as far as it lies with them, be at peace with all people. Sometimes we'd rather pick fights than be a blessing. But God has a heart for blessing the world around us. Now here's something. It's amazing to me how graceful God is towards us here in the first world. We have so many wonderful blessings, and we can be so thankless. We have that old song, "Count Your Blessings," but I don't hear that sung in church very much anymore. Yet we have more blessings than we can count. Maybe that's the problem. But it's amazing that in this abundance that we experience, God still extends grace towards each of us. He calls out to us. He surrounds us with his love. He comforts us in our sorrows. He helps us in our needs. And sometimes we ask for the most trivial things, and God, like a loving parent, meets even those needs. I wonder sometimes whether God has spoiled us, but I don't think it's God spoiling us. It might be us spoiling ourselves. But God, even to us, is graceful. That young lady got to go to her prom night. Many people have gotten the promotion they were looking for. Many people got relocated to the place they wanted to be. Many people have found success in their attempt to have more self-control in the area of eating and other addictions. Many people have found peace in the security that God gives, even when their sense of insecurity is not really grounded in fact. Because God loves us. He loves us so much that he cares for us, even when we scrape our knee or stub our toe. But God is calling us to his kingdom problems. Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Don't run after these other things. In fact, be willing to let go of food and shelter and security when called to. The followers of Jesus over history have been willing to lay down their very lives, knowing that God keeps their life in eternity for them. Do petty problems distract us from that higher call? Do we have too many things to maintain around us, to focus in on God? I'll tell you, in K.P. Yohannan's book, Revolution in World Missions, he tells of an evangelist who was so poor he was going to a hospital and selling his own blood in order to buy the tools he needed to reach his community for Christ. Paul tells us and encourages us, saying, "We have not yet resisted to the point of losing blood." Well, here's a saint who has done so. We don't suffer beatings or threats, and it's incredibly unlikely that we will suffer such things as others have suffered and even now suffer in other parts of the world. But God is calling us to lay aside the concerns of the day and the concerns of tomorrow and follow him, to put our hand on the plow and not look back, to do his work and know that he's caring for the rest. For God is worthy of our sacrificial service, and he is trustworthy to make us fruitful in his service. He's shown us through Scripture. He's shown us in the testimony of saints through the ages, and I have very little doubt that he's shown you in your own life that he can be trusted with the needs of today, and he wants to trust us with the needs of his kingdom. So kingdom problems can be our focus, and kingdom problems can be our aim, and the hope that we have in God can turn us from trivia to truth, and from little things to the things of utmost significance. Would you pray with me? Loving God, increase our faith. Didn't you lovingly address the disciples as ye of little faith who worry about little things? Lord, we admit that we often don't have a lot of faith, but we pray that you would increase us in faith and that you would lead us and show us how we can take part in greater things, in eternal things, as we become a blessing to the world around us. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, who gave up everything for our sakes when he died on the cross for us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, listeners, for your encouragement, prayer, and financial support. You keep us on the air week by week, so if you can, please make a donation to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. We will send you a receipt at income tax time. Please also tell others about this program, and don't forget to visit our website. You will find several of our programs available on podcasts. Please remember to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. And now, as we conclude our program, here is Steve Bell singing Holy Lord. And may you know Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant, abiding, and accompanying love.
In the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.